This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, John Morosi will join us on the program. Always a good conversation. Always feel a little bit better. As bad as we feel right now about the Mariners, I guess I'm going to guess we'll feel just a little bit better. Maybe not a ton. I don't know how he can spin this. And he's a guy, by the way, who picked the Mariners to win the division, along with others on MLB Network. So that seems to be a pretty tenuous situation right now. It's 45 games, but we'll see where he's at with his predictions and how he feels about what the Mariners have done. But as you heard in the snapshot there, Dave, the Mariners have optioned Drew Steckenrider to Class AAA Tacoma, which feels like the right move because I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know if it's physical. I don't know if it's mechanical, mental, a combination of all three. He's been a bit of a liability.
Yeah. Who's the guy that went to the Sadler? Remember,
Sadler didn't even start the season.
Was it the four S's? Was it Sadler, Seawald, Steckenrider,
and Swanson?
Swanson, yes. And Swanson's?
Samsonite.
Swanson.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm going dumb and dumber there.
Oh, okay.
Samsonite.
Man, how could I miss that? But yeah, you're right, man. Red hot. What are the Astros? 8-2. No, they're 6-4. They're 6-4, the two-game winning streak right now, but 29-16, and they just look so good up and down their lineup. You mentioned Verlander coming in here. I mean, it's just ridiculous, his numbers. So, you know what I think? I just had to mention his wife, just so people can say, yeah, you can really hate him now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like Tom Brady. Right? Like he's got this beautiful wife and perfect kids and, you know, all that crap. Yeah, nobody likes that. Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see the rich get richer in life, not just financially speaking. It just, you know, you feel like somebody's just had everything go their way their entire life.
Yeah.
And, you know, not only is he doing well off the field, he's doing well on the field. He's got an ERA right now of 1.22.
Damn. Yeah. You know what? I was going to say, I thought it was sub 1. But I know
you're way off. 1-2-2 in 8 starts.
So we have the same text line. I didn't get a chance to practice on the new one, but it is 206-421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Text in if you're sad. Are you a sad fan or are you mad? That's what we got right now. We talked about this at the opening of the show. Remember, Luke Wilson said this after Super Bowl 49. When the crushing blow of the interception at the 1 yard line, and there were guys in the locker room, there were sad guys and mad guys.
Yeah.
Sad guys were bawling, and, you know, which I don't think I've ever cried after losing. I wasn't like you when you were in Little League Baseball, Bob.
Oh, yeah, I cried all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I cried. I got so mad. I was an angry guy.
Well, it was both.
I was mad.
They were tears of anger.
Did you ever karate chop like a board or something like that? Like you do in your garage all the time? Sometime I want to come to your house and do karate in the garage.
Do karate in the garage. Yeah.
I think we'll become best friends.
I got a bunch of watermelons in there. We could attack.
Awesome.
And
absolutely. You,
what else is it? 2 liter bottles of soda and stuff. Yeah.
Now, weren't they putting what is it that you put in?
Oh, the Mentos.
Soda? Mentos?
Yeah.
Does that really work?
It does.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
Do we have any scientists out there? Can you
we have some that will play the role on the text, I'm sure.
Well, here's what they're going to do. They're going to look it up on Google in like 10 seconds.
Present
later.
It as their own.
Of course, it's this.
My hypothesis.
Yeah.
Exactly. That'll be 421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. We did get a lot of response to that. We had somebody said they were spitting mad.
I haven't heard that one in a while.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
Spitting mad.
Yeah, they were spitting mad. Another one, furious anger. That's Ryan from the 253. This is just a repeat of 2015, 2010, 2017. So that's furious anger. We got frustrated and embarrassed because I keep telling people this is the year, and then I look like the idiot. There's some that are just like, there are some that just said, I don't feel anything.
Oh, that's terrible. I don't feel anything. They always say, you know, apathy is like the worst, right?
It's a kiss of death, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, love, hate, it's extreme. At least you're feeling some emotions. We're talking about no emotions for that person right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the one that said furious anger that reminded me of in Anchorman, where they're all screaming and yelling at the boss, and then the weatherman.
Brick. I don't know what we're yelling about.
Loud noises.
So good.
Yeah. But I feel like that's how people, they get like that around here, because we talked about this before and how, you know, it seems like on the East Coast, the fans, they love to be angry at something.
Oh, yeah.
Complain.
They can't wait to rage.
Yeah. And then here, it's like you get sad, and so then you just
you check out.
Yeah. Just check out. Why? Yeah. Why is that?
I think it's painful. I think as much as the Seahawks and Mariners have been around since the 70s, which is decades now, it's still young compared to New York teams have been there forever, and Chicago and Philadelphia and those sports cities that have been established, you know, with your grandparents and their parents, and just it's such a long line. Whereas here it's a little different. It's a little newer. It's a little fresher for a lot of people, and they'd just rather not hear about it. We still get texts today. Stop talking about this team.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you like us to discuss? I mean, this is what's happening right now. Good or bad, this is happening. We're in the middle of the season. Not even the middle. We're 45 games into a 162 game season, and I feel your pain. I am with you. I said yesterday, I'm not gonna be the cheerleader and tell you, hey, everything's gonna be okay. Don't get so upset. No. Nope. Everything you say is warranted. If you're angry, you are absolutely within your rights to rage and point fingers and yell and ask why did they do this and why did they not do that. I'm with you.
I'll tell you what, though. Here's the thing. When the Mariners make it to the playoffs, this is going to be like these fans here deserve it so much.
Oh, yes,
here.
They do.
And, you know, as far as the major sports, longest dry spell, I heard a stat earlier, and I think it was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, because the Yankees had a double-digit win streak going, and it was their third one in 3 years. And the other thing about them, it was went back to like the 20s, that they had not had a double-digit losing streak since like 1920 or 25 or something. And during that time, there were like 362 double-digit losing streaks. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a franchise that they're just, I mean, they're just spoiled. And, and it's almost like the Mariners are the opposite. And, you know, just for so long, just I understand being sad. But, I mean, to me, I'd rather they were mad. I would rather they're angry, because that kind of at least keeps you invested.
Yeah, Fred and Birch Bay throwing Nerf baseballs at the TV. That's the smart way.
He's very wise.
Yeah, Fred, that's very wise. That way you're not going to – then you're even more angry later and you're mad at yourself. Like, I just broke my TV. And we've seen a million videos of people smashing their TV after, you know, one of their teams lose. I told you I was watching when Sugar Ray Leonard lost to Terry Norris, and he took a beating. For boxing fans out there, they'll know what I'm talking about. Sugar Ray, one of my all-time favorites. I started punching the arm of my couch, and then it just V'd. It just broke. It's just a piece of wood that just V'd, and then I'm sitting there just going, I'm an idiot.
That was stupid, yeah.
He still lost. He still got his tail kicked, and now I have a broken couch.
Yeah. At least you didn't break yourself.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I have to say, I broke my finger one time, and it wasn't – I was just kind of mad, and it wasn't like I was ridiculously angry. And I was walking in, there was a big box, which I thought was empty, and I just went to punch it, and my finger, like, went down, and it broke. I had to
was
go
there something in there?
Yeah, there was it was full of, like, yeah, I don't know if it was marble.
That's where you kept your bowling ball.
Yeah, probably, but, yeah, so, but you know what? I remember one time right after the Seahawks in 2012 lost to Atlanta in the playoff game.
Yeah.
Somebody texted in about how, in very great detail, explained how he ripped his TV off the wall.
Oh.
And, you know, the drywall came down and he crashed it. And he was talking about how much money it cost him and everything. So, yeah, I guess I would rather see that. Although you don't really get that kind of reaction in baseball. It's kind of like, you know, over a period of time, it doesn't get you like angry right in the moment. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, although I do get angry in the moment too, Dave.
All right, you know what? What's bothering Bob? I'm thinking that's going to be that's what we're going to get into. I think starting next week, what's bothering Bob?
Is that going to be? It's got to be specific, because you could just go the Mariners.
Yeah, no. Specifically, like what little pet peeves. There are things that go on, you know, and I'll write things down like that sometimes. Like, I like to complain about the officials.
Yeah.
Or not officials. The home plate
umpires. Yep.
There's plenty of that. You know, whenever you see those guys making a show out of themselves, and then every once in a while, the opponents, like, you know, I got to love Jed Lowry because he's a Stanford guy, but
he wears the double flaps. You like that?
Yeah, he does. He does that too, but he is just one of those pesky guys. Like, Calhoun.
Cole Calhoun.
You know, Cole Calhoun. Oh. And it used to be like Coco Crisp with the A's. Like, he was just one of those guys. Like,
David Fletcher.
Fletcher is another one.
Altuve. It just feels
they tend to be small.
I was just going to ask you, can you be a big guy and be pesky?
Yeah.
Or do you have to be small to be pesky? Because it seems like that's a rule. Sean Figgins, before he came to the Mariners, he was a pain in the backside. He was a thorn in the side of the Mariners. Small guy. He was pesky.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels like that's the term that gets thrown, the tag that gets thrown on smaller guy. You don't really hear big guys referred to as pesky.
Yeah, Aaron Judge, you're never going to he's
not a pesky guy.
No, he's not. So you're not going to confuse that with a pesky guy.
360 said, the Kool-Aid is poisoned, and I've had a gallon.
Well, look, I mean, you know, we had the stats earlier. They're off by what? Three game difference from where they were last year.
After 45 games last year, they were 21-24. They are currently 18-27.
Yeah. Is your biggest concern? I mean, I'm looking at the bullpen numbers, and I'm like, okay, is it that different? And at this time last year, did we realize what we had in the bullpen? I feel like
because they were losing but there was and we touched on this to open the show. There wasn't a ton of expectation attached to the team. We went into that season going, we're in the rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the rebuild. This is, you know, hopefully we have some fun. Hopefully we see the young guys really, you know, start to show something. We get a chance to see the young guys. It was about the potential and the promise of what was to come. And then fast forward to the end of the season, they win 90 games. The city is awake now. The baseball community in the city is invested and awake. And we come into this season with expectations. You go out, you get the Cy Young Award winner in Robbie Ray. You trade for an all-star in Jesse Winker. You know, Mitch Haniger coming off his career year. Can't wait to get him back out there. Jared Kelnick got some time under his belt. He was showing life at the end of the season. This season coming up is going to be great. We're going to see Julio at some point and George Kirby at some point. Everything felt positive, and we were ready for a run and ready for something decidedly different than what we've seen to this point. That's why it feels, it's three games, not a dramatic difference in terms of records and where you are versus where you were last year, but the expectation is night and day different. That's why it feels so much worse right now.
Yeah, you're totally right. Because, you know, and I'm trying to compare it to last year when you look back, and you've brought this up before, the Padres series. Right. That was the one where it was a little bit. It was about the same time, wasn't it? Wasn't that in May in 2021 when the Mariners, you know, with that series that ended up down in San Diego?
Oh, we're 31-7.
Yeah, the 31-7. And we didn't really know what this team could be. But this year, man, and I'm the bullpen numbers, I guess I was a little bit surprised. Like, I didn't think. I thought that they were going to be pretty noticeably different because last year they were number 8 in ERA. They were number 3 in saves. This year they're number 30 in saves as far as his ranking in Major League Baseball with 7. You know, all of last year they had 51. Still good with the walks, actually. Not bad. They're top 5, only surrendering 53 walks, the bullpen that is. And then, you know, last year they were number 3 as far as walks. So they're off, but it's not like ridiculously off. But then, you know, in games where, I don't know, it's just weird the things that happen. And this is why I would be mad guy. Yesterday, Robbie Ray is pitching, and the two guys that hit home runs, Seth Brown, who, look, he hasn't had a big long career, but he's had 20 home runs in a season, and he hits his second ever home run off of a lefty, and it's Robbie Ray. So, I mean, that's a guy you didn't expect that to happen. And then Elvis Andrus, who has had in 14 years, 2 double-digit, I think the most for him was 17 or 20. And he hits a home run off of Robbie Ray. So those are the kinds of things I think that make you mad.
Yeah, it's just, there's no shortage. If we want to create a list of what makes you mad, it's going to be a long list. And now you're hoping for help. You're hoping, okay, how do you turn it around? What do you do? And Jerry DePoto was on this morning talking about that. And you know, they've made moves in the past. Now, we're in a time of year where you're not seeing a ton of trades being made. Teams, you know, outside of maybe the A's and the Orioles who went into the season waving the white flag. Teams feeling like, hey, we still have a chance. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. But DePoto talking about how rare it is to make a trade in the month of May.
You know, Scott and I were talking about it last night, actually. The trade that we made back in May, I think, of 2018 with the Rays that brought Denard Span and Alex Colomay to the Mariners. It was a very unusual it was a unique trade in its timing. You usually don't see trades until June, July. And I don't sense that the market is really cooking yet. There's a couple of teams that may be willing to move, but we still see ourselves as a young, growing team. And we watched it a year ago. We watched ourselves claw out of this hole and frankly, get back. We were in first place by the middle of June.
All right. So is that the expectation now? Do you feel like you've got the pieces in place to duplicate what you did last year? Or, you know, when you said stuff, we're a young, growing team, that's true. But it almost sounds like, well, we don't expect to compete. We're young, growing. We'll get there. We're not there yet, is how I hear that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just so caught up into how bad they've been lately that, you know, I'm hearing those things going, so are you making an excuse? Is that what you're saying? That, well, it's a young, growing team. These are growing pains.
Well, and I would put this little phase right here up against what happened in San Diego last year, because you get swept by the Red Sox in two of those games? They came from behind.
Mm-hmm. And 4-0 lead, 5-0 lead.
Yeah.
Blow it.
Absolutely. And then you lose to the A's, 2 out of 3, who, like you said, they pretty much surrendered before the season even started. So, there are a couple of guys. I've been sort of not as aggressively like on both Winker and Suarez. And I know that you've been, you're demanding, Bob. We know that about you, right? You demand performance.
Oh, I demand be who you were. I'm not asking you to be anything you haven't been.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, it's just I was talking more about sometimes you'll look at me and go, why is he not doing that?
You're the guy with answers. So I demand those from you.
No, I don't know. But yeah, I mean Suarez and Winker both. I mean, yeah, those are two guys that have to play better. And look, what you know, if you're Scott Service, you can't sit there and throw those guys under the bus.
No,
you know, but you. You need to get the kind of performance, or like you said, what they are. So, and right now he's we were talking about Winker. He's .216. Is that right?
Yeah, he's been bad.
.314 on base percentage.
And here's the other part: is none of it is ever personal. We talked to him.
Oh yeah,
loved him. I absolutely love his person. And same with Suarez. Hearing him, we haven't had a chance to interview him yet, and I hope we do. Both great guys. I think they're absolute assets in the clubhouse. We've heard people when we've asked who's the funniest guy, oh, Winker. He's funny and loved his reaction to the fan base in New York. And I root for both of them. They both seem like absolute additions in the way of personality. Yeah. Suarez is closer to what he's been the past couple of seasons. He's kind of living up to those numbers, if you will. Winker, a lot of bad luck to start. I acknowledge you can get into expected batting average on balls put in play and all of this stuff. But and even he said it. I don't get into all that. Here's what I've produced. Here's my numbers are what they are. Here's what they are. I'm not into what my average should be or, you know, on a ball hit that hard, expecting bad. He wasn't buying into any of that, which I absolutely respect.
Yes.
Where he was just like, this is where I'm at. And he's aware of it. And I don't think he's not trying. But, you know, and we'll get into this a little later in the show. But if I'm looking at individuals on this team and saying, I need to pick one guy to really pick it up and say, dude, you need to get it turned around. He's my first candidate.
Mm.
That's an all-star. He was the core of that trade. It was not Suarez. Suarez was a salary dump from the Reds. They like the A's, like Baltimore, were saying, we're trading everybody. You remember the owner out there, careful what you wish for, all that. Their fan base is upset. They were trading away anybody that made money. So in order to get Winker, you had to take on Suarez and his $35 million that he's owed. So I don't put as much on him as I do Winker because he was the impetus. He was the motivation for making that trade. He was the all-star last year for that team. And he hasn't been that guy. He left field is a bit of an adventure for him. We saw that play he made the other day where Rodriguez is calling him off and he kind of cuts in front of him and doesn't field the ball and it rolls by both of them. And he's not a great outfielder. It's not his strength. But I expect more from him based on what he was last year and what he was perceived to be. And I assume he will get there. But if we're just going through this, and again, we'll talk about it more later, he's the one guy I would point to that's not getting it done. Then I say, you are a key to success here. You are a big key to this team turning it around offensively. You need to get it figured out, whatever that entails.
Text it in. Who is the guy? If you're going to boil it down to one guy, because you know who my guy is? It's Jared Kelnick, because he is the face of the rebuild. Julio Rodriguez was much celebrated and all that. And we all knew, and, you know, great smile and everything started off. But to me, it was still about Jared Kelnick and just the things that they talked about as far as what he can bring. And he's a five-tool guy and everything. And look, I know that's a lot of pressure to put on a young guy. And, you know, I feel like he is the guy. It's not like I'm mad at him, but I feel like he's the guy that needs to really seriously contribute, especially since, like you said, he plays a great right field.
He was outstanding in the outfield this year.
And that's, yeah, and you're missing that from Mitch Haniger. And so I feel like he is the guy that needs to. If it all boils down to one person, you're saying Jesse Winker.
Well,
I'm going to say it's
here now. It's here now.
Oh, yeah.
Who would you pick?
Oh, you mean on the team now?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's up with the big club.
Well, I'm just saying, I think Jared Kelnick needs to be up with the big club.
Well, he's got to show that he's worthy of it, and he hasn't yet.
Yeah, and that's my problem. So of the players
here, and again, Dave's right, text in, if you could pick one player that's on the big league roster that's with the big club right now, that can impact them night in, night out, that needs to step up. Obviously not France. J.P. Crawford is doing his part. Looks like he's starting around into form. Julio is... I don't put much on Julio because he's 21.
Yeah.
It's his first year. He's going up and down, and he's been fantastic.
Well, I'm kind of like that with Raleigh, too, because I guess I would say that. I mean, you know, but Cal Raleigh's a young guy, too.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean,
if that's your
his
guy,
average
that's your guy.
Has got to come up. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going with the Utes, Bob.
Okay.
I think
so. Is Raleigh your guy that you would pick?
Yeah, if you're it's not. It's Jared Kelnick.
Well, but you got to pick from somebody that's with the big club, right? Yeah, those are the rules.
No, who makes up the rules?
I did.
No,
it was my question.
I'm making up the rules now.
It was my question. The rules are they got to be with the big clubs.
No, I was the one that said, hey, if it's one person, who is it?
And that's what I put in the notes last night.
I didn't read that.
Thanks for that. All right. Well, let's just
all
pretend
right,
you
okay.
read them.
All right. I did read your email. I just, you know, to me, it's Jared Kelnick's almost more of an idea.
Yeah.
Like he represents the youth and
the future, the youth movement,
the rebuilding of the farm system. But yeah, I guess if I have to, and I don't like to, you know, with Cal Raleigh, he's just so young. But yeah, I guess I'll say, I mean, his batting average is not sustainable, as you would say.
So you go Cal Raleigh. I go Jesse Winker. Where do you guys go? If you could pick one player that needs to step it up and get it turned around.
I actually went Jared Kelnick.
Who is it?
Bob has.
Somebody who's not in the minor leagues right now. Somebody who has a chance to impact this team tomorrow night. Who is it? Text it in 421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Coming up. There's one other big reason that the Mariners are currently performing below expectations. We'll get into that coming up. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, John Morosi will join us on the program. He'll make us feel better about what's happening with this Mariners team and just spread some sunshine, some love, some happiness and joy.
This will be like the biggest challenge, I think, since we've had him on.
Well, it's never
our main guy.
This is about as low as we've felt as a fan base, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there have been individual moments in games like, oh, man, I can't believe they blew that or they didn't come up with any offense in this situation, whatever, but... This has been a stretch. This has been a tough stretch.
Well, I think it's just, I think a lot of people are humiliated because of the A's and the fact that they're just so bad and didn't even, like, they're not even trying to be good.
Yeah, and we kept hearing it, you know, and listen, it's the job of the broadcast to give you all the pertinent numbers about the opposition coming in, and here's where they're really good, and here's what they do well, and here's where they don't do well. And they, you know... Goldsmith and Sims and Riz and everybody talking about the numbers, the offensive numbers for that A's team coming in were atrocious. They were
right
towards the bottom of the league or at the bottom of the league in all these different offensive categories where it just sounded like they were going to have a really hard time scoring any runs, yet they didn't have a hard time.
They didn't. Even in the game they lost, they came back and put up six runs, I believe, in that game where it felt like, are the Mariners going to let this one slip away? Mm-hmm. Are they really going to blow this one? Which they didn't. They got the win. But it just, so it created an expectation. You're looking at this team going, A, they've basically sold off just about every player they've got worth anything that another team would want. B, they are offensively just at the bottom in every single category. This is a team the Mariners get well on. The Mariners are at home. It's this is where you start to get right after that Boston series, and then you lose two of three. It just
And I think we also got set up right because you go to New York, and you take the first one, and then you lose the next one by a run, and then you win the series, and that was their first loss. Mm-hmm. They had not lost a series, the New York Mets. Then you go into Toronto, okay, 1-2, all right, and then you get swept in Boston, and now this. So, yeah, I mean, look, it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, maybe it would surprise me.
What's that?
Well, if they have this incredible comeback and performance, like if they take 2 out of 3 from Houston right here.
What if they beat the daylights out of Verlander?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
they go out there and just mash him. He gets knocked out in the fourth inning. He's given up 6 runs.
Remember the last time he was here? In the home opener, did he, I don't know, was it 1 or 2 hits? I think they beat the Mariners 11-1 or something like that. So, and Verlander had an unbelievable night.
Let's take a look. Why speculate? Let's see. Seattle, he went.
Oh, they lost 4-0.
He went 8 innings. He gave up 3 hits and struck out 8 and walked none.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's.
So there was that. And then the next time he faced him, which was on the 4th of this month. In Houston, he went 6 2/3, gave up 5 hits, gave up 2 runs, and 3 strikeouts. So not nearly as dominant, but still enough to win.
Yeah. But, I mean, that performance up here. But, that's what can get them right, and that's kind of what happened last year. So, but, you know, like what we're talking about here, it's just the void of leadership. I just think the Mitch Haniger thing is huge because, you know, like we talked about in the prior segment that – you know, you did have Kelnick out there playing really good in right field. Now you've got Dylan Moore who, you know, Dylan Moore.
He can make some plays.
I like it, yeah. Every once in a while, then, you know.
By the way, does his mid, and I know an outfielder's mid is bigger. His looks huge. Have you noticed that? He looks like he's got a Brett Butler mid. I don't know if you remember Brett Butler. Played for the Dodgers, played for a bunch of teams. But he had this massive mid. It was huge. Mm. I don't know if it's that big, but it looks like it's close.
The thing that stands out to me about Dylan Moore is that the second the ball makes contact with his bat, his feet are moving. Like, you know that little noise from the cartoons that it goes, you know, that's what I always think about when I see Dylan Moore. And I love his hustle. I love how he busts out of the box. But, you know, I don't think up to the caliber of Jared Kelnick playing in right field, and certainly not Mitch Haniger. And I just think that Mitch Haniger is maybe the one person. So we talked about, okay, who's the one person that you know, that you sort of blame it on, or you know, that you think needs the most to play better? Who, if you could pick one guy?
Yeah, and we got a bunch of submissions. It's not blaming that one player. It's like who is a key to turning this around? Yeah. I mean, because it's all. They're all complicit, Dave, which some of the techs have said.
Act like I didn't say blame.
Yeah.
Because that's not really what we're talking about. We're just like, okay, who's the one guy that you think would mean the most? If he steps up, that would mean the most.
Yeah, my guy is Winker.
Yeah.
My guy is Winker because he did it last year. He was an all-star. He was the guy you traded for. He was the appealing, shiny object, if you will, from the Reds that the Mariners and DePoto really wanted to get. And he just hasn't done it. And some of it is bad luck, certainly, the way the season started out. But he has just got to get it figured out. He has got to be a more productive, impactful player than he has been to this point. That's my guy. 253 says, the whole flipping team except for Julio, France, JP, and Logan. The rest of the team needs to step up. Okay. Not wrong. Drew Steckenrider says, the 360. Well, he's been optioned to AAA.
Right.
So he's out of the equation currently. Flexen, the 206 says. I mean, he was the hard luck guy. He had 7 starts, 5 total runs of support in those 7 starts. Then you get to his next start, he gets 5 runs of support and he blows up.
Yeah.
So that it speaks to how the season has gone, the timing. Another one, Jesse Winker, Robbie Ray. Yeah. He's striking out a lot of guys. He's been far from a shutdown guy. We talked about his ERA going into the last start for the month of May was 5.55. He had a 4.73 ERA on the season going into that game. He gave you the quality start, and that's six innings, three runs or less. That's the quality start stat.
Right.
He gave you that. Struck out 10, couldn't get the win. So, but I expect more from the guy you just, he's making $21 million. He's the highest paid player on this roster, won the Cy Young Award last year. Yeah, quality start is great. Keeping your team in the game is great. I expect more from your ace, your number one, to be a little bit better than 4.73 going into that game and over 5.5 for the month of May.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good call by the, I forgot their area code, 425, I think.
Yeah, but and it's not like Robbie Ray has just been a huge disappointment, but like you said, for, you know, paying him, he was your marquee signing.
Yeah, if you're getting that out of Flexen, if you're getting that certainly out of George Kirby, anybody in that fifth spot, or maybe even Marco at this point. Yeah, you're okay, cool. But for Robbie Ray, yeah, you expect more. You expect more. A couple of other winkers, 4.25, it's more than one. We get it.
Pick one.
You got to narrow it down to just one. If you can't.
The rules.
Yeah, those are the rules. Somebody saying Frazier. Yeah, he's been kind of up and down. His average and on-base is getting better. He's not doing damage. He's not driving it. And that's not really what he was brought here to do. He's your leadoff hitter until they put Winker in there recently. But he's a guy who's expected to get on base. He doesn't draw a lot of walks. He goes up there hacking. That's his game. So you can continue to text that in, 421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. If you could pick one player in this Mariners lineup, or in the rotation or bullpen, if you will, that you feel like, man, this guy, if he could just turn it around and be who he's been, that's going to go a long way in helping this team. Who is that guy? Coming up, there's one quarterback in the NFC South who thinks he could be the best in the NFL. And we're not talking about Tom Brady. We'll let you hear that when we sweep the dial. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial. Every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
All right, first up we have Steve Keim, Cardinals GM, downplays the Kyler Murray drama.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a timing thing, Pat. It's you know, every quarterback that's done it before has done it from anywhere from July to September. And no different for us. I mean, I have to get prepared for the NFL draft. That requires a lot of hours of tape watching, free agency at the same time, and it's not easy. So your time is really taken up in a lot of different directions, and you have to prioritize it. And we know that he's under contract for another year and also the fifth-year option, and he is our future. We feel that way strongly, and I feel like we'll be able to get something done this summer.
Let it burn. Let it fester. I mean, he's saying all the right things. That's what you do. You're not going to go out there, boy, this is looking grim. We haven't talked to his side in months. This is. I don't know what we're going to do.
I was trying to look for one little thing there. He said he's still under contract.
Yeah, this year and the fifth-year option, but yeah. Does that, I don't know, he could sit out, right? He's not attending, and these are voluntary, they're OTAs, so it's not that big a deal,
but
when we get to training camp, if nothing's done, is he sitting out?
Well, and here's the other thing I would say, too, that, yeah, this is an OTA, yeah, it's not mandatory, but that's your quarterback.
It's your leader.
Yeah.
He's setting the tone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it just indicates there's a tremendous disconnect there. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, especially with Kingsbury, and maybe Kingsbury's good from him. We're hearing from the GM, of course, but he's going to downplay it. That's a weird one. I mean, look, quarterbacks are different, man. They just are. They're like management. They're like coaches. Like, I just don't remember, you know, sitting around and complaining about the boss with the quarterback, whether it was John Elway or Dave Craig or, you know, Jeff Kemp or whoever. It was, you know, they're always pretty tightly connected to, and if there's some kind of rift there, like there was between John Elway and Dan Reeves when I got there, it was like legendary, you know, then it's trouble. It doesn't work out. So and like a lot of this is wishful thinking on my behalf because everybody else in the NFC West looks pretty good.
Sweeping the dial.
Sweeping the dial, Scott Service on the frustration in the clubhouse right now.
Oh, there's plenty of frustration. I think guys understand you know, we're not playing up to our capabilities. We have dealt with some adversity. I've talked about it, and I don't want to make excuses because nobody in the league feels sorry for us. But, you know, injuries and, you know, lack of performance by some guys, and you're just trying to get a group going together in the right direction, and right now it's not. Pretty obvious.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's at some point you wonder, is there the players-only meeting? And maybe they've already had it. Maybe J.P. Crawford and Marco Gonzalez behind closed doors, guys that have been there for a little bit of time. I mean, obviously Marco longer, but they're the veterans that have been there. They're the ones that I think, you know, I know, you know, you brought in veterans in Suarez and Robbie Ray, but they haven't been there. So you look to the leaders that have gone through some things there, and that'd be Marco and J.P. pulling people together and saying, here, guys, unacceptable. We can't make the mistakes. We can't do what we've been doing. We've got to be better at whatever it is they identify as being the biggest problem out there.
I should probably know this, but like, where is Mitch Haniger physically? Like, is he rehabbing
there?
That's
a good question. I don't.
Do they have
him down?
I think
he could. I think he's here at time because I feel like I read a tweet from Divish saying you talked to him in the clubhouse when we read that story about his the time frame of his return. Remember?
Yeah.
So I think he was talking to him. I assumed in person. Maybe he was texting. I'm not sure. That's a good question. I don't know physically where he's at.
Because I'm not sure how much you can contribute. But I mean, a guy like that, it doesn't matter whether he's playing or not. I feel like he could be in there and, you know, help with the tone and everything. But, you know, you got plenty of leadership and everything that you hear. I mean, Kyle Seager himself was talking about what a great leader JP is. Mm-hmm. So I'll take his word for it.
Sweeping the dial.
Sam Darnold thinks he can be one of the best QBs in the NFL.
It really starts with really just understanding the offense, understanding the defense, and really going out there with the confidence, knowing that, you know, I can go out and, you know, as long as I know, you know, what we're doing, what the defense is doing, you know, I'm confident that I can be one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Attaboy.
I'm glad he's confident. I don't share that level of confidence about what he could be, but good for him.
He's 17-32, 54 touchdowns, 52 interceptions. So where's the confidence?
Give me the touchdown to interception ratio again.
54-52.
Ooh.
And completion percentage around 60. He was a good quarterback 25, 30 years ago. But yeah, I mean, look, I'm always pulling for, you know this about me, I'm always pulling for the, unless they're in our division, for players to turn it around. And, you know, the people that know what they're looking at, you know, are saying, hey, this guy has the potential to do that. It's just weird, though. I mean, I'm trying to remember, like, you know, and the same thing goes for Drew Lock. I mean, to me, I'm just very much about how the second year when you come back, I feel like, and maybe it's different for quarterbacks, but for me personally, it was like the second year I came back, I found it. I found how to play pro football. And when it goes 4 years like this, this is his fifth year, Sam Darnold.
I think he's only thrown over 3,000 yards one time, right?
You are correct. Yeah, 3,000 is second year. 2,800 is first year. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. The timing on it just doesn't sort of stand up to the test of time, but you know, there are guys that click at different times. And this is the same concern, Bob, that I have about Rashad Penny, is that it doesn't usually work that way. So, and you and I have established, love Rashad Penny.
Yes, great
love
kid.
Him,
great
rooting, kid. Rooting for him, but this latest thing about the hamstring. But yeah, as far as the timing goes for Sam Darnold, I feel like it probably would have happened by now.
You'd think, and he's not been in great situations, obviously. He started with the Jets, and then he went to the Panthers. But
that's a great point, because you know why? Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
So he started off with crazy eyes, Adam Gase
in Miami.
Down in Miami, yeah. And then he goes to Tennessee.
He's taking grief from Miko Grimes while he was out there. I mean, nothing was good out there. So, yeah.
Maybe happened later.
There could be a turnaround in the future for him. It might be his toughest challenge yet, figuring out how to be optimistic right now about this Mariners team. But by God, we've got the guy who can do it. John Morosi is going to join us next year. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.